Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, April 11th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the internet at whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of that page. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17, almost 18 years now, to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and help me turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of those and you'd like to share them with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1 on your phone. It will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll announce you by your area code and turn on your microphone. And as we usually do on Mondays, we throw it open for comments and questions before we get back into the reading of The Way of Mastery, which is what we've been doing since January 10th of this year. So, what's on your mind? What has been resonated for you? What is the biggest benefit you've had so far? What's new if you've never been exposed to The Way of Mastery? How are you finding it? Or if you've read The Way of Mastery once or twice or three or four more times, how is it striking you to listen to this reading with commentary? 563-999-3581. I should let people know that there are pages on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website specifically devoted to this work. We've been putting those web pages up since, I think it's February 4th, that it finally dawned on me that this work was resonating with enough people that we should have a separate page on that website for, so there's one page where you can get access to the audio files of me just reading as close to verbatim as I can the first 12 lessons of the Way of Mastery. And then there's another page where the edited first hour of these Mind Shifters radio shows since January 10th have been put up there. And February 4th is the first one, but then they're listed in chronological order. And it's come to me that because there are so many of those, there should be a highlights page, because there are several files that have called me to listen to them numerous times, and so those are listed on the highlights page. And one of the themes that comes out in those shows for the highlight page is the idea of re-examining and tuning into how much we try to figure things out with our conscious logical mind. And the Way of Mastery says right in the first lesson, the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. You will not be able to figure this out. Dr. Michael Rice says that the pseudo-solutions for the non-being mind, the cheap knockoffs of your spiritual gifts. And for every spiritual gift, there is a pseudo-solution of the non-being mind, of the egoic mind, of the intellectual mind. And the primary one that is the biggest trap, according to Dr. Michael Rice, is I'm going to figure it out. And that's exactly the same message that comes through loud and clear through the Course in Miracles and the Way of Mastery. The way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. You are not going to be able to figure this out. How is my life better now, even though it's unfolding in a way that I don't like and I would never have imagined could be good? How is it possible that this is going to lead to some of the best things in my life in the near future? That's not something we can figure out with the egoic mind, with the conscious logical mind, with the intellectual mind, with what Way of Mastery says is the intellect, which has been shoved full of trivialities from our culture, our conditioning, our language, our family interactions. And so one of the themes, if you listen to the highlight shows that are listed on the Way of Mastery page for the MindShiftersAcademy.org highlights for the Way of Mastery readings with commentary, one of the primary themes is you got to get out of your mind. You got to get out of the intellect. You've got to get out of the habit of trying to figure it out and just trust things are going to work out if you ask how to be shown how to be a blessing in the next moment, what to do to bless all creation or bless your brother and sister in this moment or be a blessing for yourself and others. It is not an easy thing for us to do when we've been trained and conditioned to rely so heavily on or even to deify our intellect and our conscious logical mind. And yet it's what a number of deep spiritual traditions call us to do. Quit trying to figure it out and just go back to basics. Breathe, soften, let it go. Ask to be shown. Ask to be taught by life or love or God or whatever name you want to give it in the moment. And so the highlight shows are there. The recordings of the verbatim readings of the first 12 lessons are there. It's mindshiftersacademy.org. And we hope people take advantage of that as yet another free resource that's offered through the Mind Shifters radio team, Michael and Jeannie Rice, and their website at whyagain.org and the website at mindshiftersacademy.org. So no one has a hand up, so we'll go back into reading. We're in the middle of lesson 8. And we were talking on Friday, in the lesson, it was talking about how you are a product of the flow of creation. And in the last paragraph we read said, you, each and every one of you, are made of the very substance of that overwhelming love and playfulness. And you, as being made of that substance of love and playfulness, you have the power to create infinitely and thereby to extend creation itself. That is who you are. That is where you find yourself, now and now and forever. And you'll never escape it. And we were talking about how that power of creation, which is expressed through your mind energy, as Michael Rice calls it, or where you choose to focus your conscious awareness, or where you choose to focus your thoughts, that is a creative force. And you can't turn it off. You do have the ability to direct it in one area or another. You can direct it towards peace, compassion, forgiveness, love, gratitude, appreciation, gentleness, patience, allowance, surrender. You can direct it towards those energies, or you can direct it towards fear, contraction, resistance, anger, hurt, guilt, shame, blame. And wherever we direct our conscious awareness, we create our experience of life, because we are powerful creators whether we like it or not. So, found on page 101, lesson 8, to continue reading, the heading is titled, Creating Mastery. The text reads, mastery comes when fear has been completely dissolved. Fear is dissolved not by fearing it, not by hating it, and not by judging it. Fear is dissolved when it is looked upon with perfect innocence, when it is embraced in the same way that a scientist would watch the ripples of a little pebble that has been dropped into a pool of water to see how they have created other ripples and other temporary disturbances in the field or in the surface of the water. As you look within and notice the things you have become afraid of and how fear has constricted your creativity, your joy, your playfulness, and your unlimitedness, you merely look with innocence and wonder and say, oh, I see how that ripple has affected the creation that I call my life. Well, do I like it? Not anymore. Good. I think I'll be rid of that. What can I replace it with? End quote. Mastery is a state in which you have embraced yourself as a ceaseless creator and assumed complete responsibility for everything that comes into the field of your awareness with acceptance, without judging it, so that you can simply decide whether it is going to stay or be dissolved in its effects. Mastery is fearlessness. That is, you no longer fear the infinite creative power of your perfect union with your Creator. The quote reads, I and my Father are one. Close quote. This is one expression of mastery. Whenever we can step into the realization that we have never been separate from the creative flow that gave rise to us, and we will never be separate from it, mastery is there. The text goes on to say, if I, who uttered those words so long ago in your experience of time, if I can demonstrate to anyone who will look that consciousness transcends the limited beliefs about the body, about life and death, that the world seems so determined to defend at all costs, if I can demonstrate that only love is real, if I can demonstrate the power to communicate with minds across creation, if I can bring forth creations by joining with other minds who may be temporarily thinking that they are just a body, such that written words fall into a page or are spoken into radio waves, and it becomes part of the book that you're now reading or hearing, such that your heart is touched at just the right time. If I can do these things, so can you. And indeed, greater things than these shall you do. Beloved friends, is it not time to assume complete responsibility for the grand freedom that has been imparted to you by the Creator, by the source of your being, by your Father, Mother, God, by Abba? Is it not time to begin spending time disengaging from your entangled view that holds you to believe that what you believe and what you feel and what you think is the effect of all the energies and things that are coming at you from around you? Is it not time to begin to use time to decide which pebbles, which thoughts you will drop into the field of your consciousness? Constantly, day by day, hour by hour, even breath by breath. For these things, these choices in thought, these choices of the focus of your conscious awareness, these things create your tomorrows. And you cannot ever escape the reality that you are and always will be in the process of creating your tomorrows. Death will not separate you from it. Denial does not change it. The ignorance of the fact that you are a creator doesn't change the fact that you're a creator. All of the conditioning of our culture, all of the times we've heard and been taught, you made me angry, you hurt my feelings, you offend me, you scare me, you're confusing me, you're overwhelming me, this situation is overwhelming. None of the beliefs that we generate from those experiences change the actuality that we are creating constantly. We are the ones who have created every emotion we have experienced by how we have chosen to interpret and respond to the life events that unfold in, through, as, and around us. So that last paragraph again reads, you are free to decide what your tomorrows will be through the act of first seeing the kingdom. For these things create your tomorrows, your thoughts, and you cannot escape the fact, you cannot escape the reality that you are and always will be in the process of creating your tomorrows by where you focus your conscious awareness, by what thoughts you choose to value and give importance to in your life. Death will never interrupt that process or separate you from it, and the denial of it does not change it. You are free to decide what your tomorrows will be through the act of seeking first the kingdom. What does that mean? Seeking first to be consciously aware of the truth of life. Seeking first to remember the truth that is true always, that you and your Creator are one, that you remain as you were created to be. What does seeking first the kingdom mean? This means to rest into that inner silence in which you know that you are a wave having arisen with perfect momentum out of the depth of the ocean of the Creator's holy mind. And you know that what you carry with you is the result of the thoughts and beliefs in perceptions, like pebbles, that you have dropped into the wave of your awareness. This very process is what created you, and this very process is how you have always created. If you've ever received an education, how did you end up with your body in a classroom? Did somebody kidnap you and sit you down and say, here, you must learn these things? No. You first held a thought, a picture, and then you placed value upon it, and then you attracted the means that carried you into the lived experience of receiving the education that you had decided upon. What relationship have you ever entered into out of lack of awareness? None. You dropped the pebble into your mind that said, quote, I want relationship with another being, another body, another place on the physical planet, close quotes. You have always been doing it, and you have always experienced the fruit or the effect of the quality of the vibration of the pebble that has created the ripples that have become your experiences. In reality, your experience, that is, your awareness, what is true about you, in reality, this is no different than what is true about me, Yeshua, or any other part of the Christ mind, or any other part of the creation or creator. We're all connected. The next paragraph reads, the only difference has been that I learned to train myself hour by hour to drop only unlimited pebbles. In other words, thoughts about my unlimited creative power. Unlimited pebbles that send out vibrations of unconditional acceptance and love, forgiveness, unconditional and unbridled vision and revelation, while you have selected to do that only a few times. That's the only difference between you and any other person. The only significant difference, this is one of the things that came to me to say a number of years ago, the only significant difference between you and any other person who has ever lived or will ever live is the degree to which you're able to live from the realization that we're all the same. Now, that might sound like a contradictory statement, and yet it's not. At deeper and deeper levels, it's the same truth as what's coming through in the Way of Mastery here on page 103. The only difference between you and anybody else, or between you and Yeshua in this case, is that Yeshua learned to train himself hour by hour to drop only unlimited pebbles that send out vibrations of unconditional acceptance and love, forgiveness, unconditional and unbridled vision and revelation, where you and I and every other human being, until it's, to whatever degree it's true, have selected only to do that a few times. Everyone who is listening to words like this has had an experience where they've dropped those pebbles of possibilities and love and gratitude and expansion and creativity into their mind and valued them. Or you wouldn't be listening to a talk like this. You wouldn't be listening to the Mind Shifters radio show. You wouldn't be trying to learn tools to remove upset and trauma and drama and anger and hurt from your life. And the only difference between you and Yeshua is that Yeshua learned to drop those unconditional thoughts and value them hour by hour, where we have only done it every once in a while, a few times. And then the text goes on to say, and then we rush back and pick up the pebbles of unworthiness and limitation or lack or fear or smallness, and we drop in 12 quick ones. And then we go back to the other cupboard and say, oh, here's that pebble that says, I and my creator are one. Oh, well, I've had enough of that. And then I go back to, well, the car is going to break down, and I'm not going to have enough money to fix it. this person doesn't like me. I guess I'll go get depressed. Oh, my lover is gone. Life isn't worth living. Oh, there's too much war in the world. It's hopeless. I might as well give in to fear. While Yeshua stays on the side of the fence saying, I and the Creator are one. I and my Creator are one. I am an unlimited being forever. How many universes might I be the savior of today? You, on the other hand, have said, well, that sounds very good. I and my Creator are one. Oh, here's that pebble that says, my car needs to break down today. This, the text says over and over again, this is all there is. We are creating our experience in the moment and what is going to ripple back to us tomorrow by the thoughts we are choosing and giving value to. We are doing that. Which side of the fence are you going to sit on, and which pebbles are you going to drop into your pool of awareness? Which tree will you eat the fruit thereof? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Use that symbolism well, for when you drop the pebble in the pond, it is like saying, well, I think I will take a bite of this piece of fruit. Oh, but it's so sweet, and it's so good, and it's so perfect. I better have a bite of a rotten one to balance it out. Tree of good and evil, positive and negative, unlimitedness, limitation, forgiveness, judgment, love, fear. This is like holding a beautiful flower and seeing the petals and saying, oh, it's so beautiful. I can't take it. I think I'll prick my finger on the thorn and bring myself back down. No one ever told you, and your Creator never insisted, that you eat of the tree of good and evil. Now, this is going to rankle people. Ooh, especially in the Western mind. This is going to rankle people because we need to judge. This is bad. This is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. We've been trained. That's how we stay safe. That's how we create the kind of world that should be here. Rather than trusting the flow of creation, rather than being in each moment and asking to be taught, we are taught seek and never find. No, judge, that's wrong, you're right, you're not part of our group, you can't be good because you didn't refrain from eating meat on Fridays, etc. You didn't say your prayers facing the right direction today. And we judge and judge and judge. We constrict from the flow of life rather than just being in it fully and asking in each moment to be taught. We are trained to think we know the answer. And if we don't know the answer, we better go find some authority who can tell us what the answer is, rather than letting the unfolding of life itself be our teacher. The text goes on to say, for all good fruit has been given to you freely, and you're always free to choose which fruit you will eat thereof. And now here's a suggested series of quotes. I and my Creator are one. What a blessed creation. I've been having so much fun as this wave. Yes, I see what I've carried along with me. Well, it was fun. I gained a few things. And now, what's next? Unlimitedness. I'm going to drop that thought in. Kerplunk. Perfect love. I'm going to drop that thought in my mind. Kerplunk. Wealth. I'm going to drop that thought in my mind. Kerplunk. The ability to heal. Kerplunk, kerplunk, kerplunk. I'm going to put value on these thoughts. Oh, yes, I see that little pebble over there sitting on the shore that I've picked up a million times before. It says I'm unworthy. Kerplunk. But I'm not going to keep pouring value into that thought. I'm not going to keep rehashing it. I'm done with that. I and my Creator are one. I and my Creator are one. Creator, create through me the good, the holy, and the beautiful. For this is the reason for my being. How big of a wave can I become? How powerful can I become? How radiant can I become? How much of the creation can I express through me? Kerplunk. That's the thought I want to value. That's the thought I want to rehearse. That's the experience of life flowing through me that I want to embrace. The text goes on to say, remember well, you are creating your tomorrows now. And what you experience never comes from outside of yourself. If you worry over lack of golden coins, that's like dropping pebbles into the still clear pool of your mind. Kerplunk. And then you begin to attract the vibrational ripples that will seem to picture back to you, reflect back to you, the truth that you have chosen to believe. And that truth is reflected in a thought like, I live in lack and I can't get out. Kerplunk. I can't possibly talk to Yeshua or the saints or God directly. I am not worthy. Kerplunk. As I drop these pebbles or these thoughts into my consciousness, as I pour my belief system, my energy of mind energy into these, I create stronger and stronger webs of relationship, ripples of energy, waves emanating out from me, which will come back to me. And the vibrational waves that come to you are the static that restricts your ability to transcend the third dimension and to plug into others. So that even if I yell and shout, hey, hey, I'm here, I'm with you, listen, I'm Yeshua, I'm right here to guide you, your mind says, that's not possible. Because I've dropped in a rock, kerplunk, that says, it's not possible. And therefore, I don't hear anything. I don't hear the still small voice, the great comforter, the Christ mind, my creator, Yeshua, or any of the other entities or spirit beings or influences. I don't hear anything. I have created the belief that I am just my physical body and I am isolated and I am alone. And then I experience that dream, that hallucination, that perception. The text goes on to say, do you begin to get the picture? Do you begin to feel in the core of your beingness the essence of this lesson's message? You cannot escape being what you are created to be. In each and every moment, you are actually, literally, no questions asked, using that ceaseless and unlimited power to create. Your mind energy is a creative force. And you remain perfectly free at any time to create anew. What will you experience in your tomorrows? It is only the effect of which pebbles you are choosing to drop into the field of your awareness as thoughts right now. There are so many different ways that the Course in Miracles and this book, The Way of Mastery, and Michael Rice's work with the reality management worksheets and the targeted journaling that he calls the mind shifter and the three early memories of conflict and the codependence to interdependence worksheet, they all try to help uncover this very dynamic, to let us step into an experience of how we are creating our experience of life, and what's going to ripple back to us tomorrow. Your mind energy is a creative force, and it is always on. Michael Rice gets very, very heavily into regulatory speech. Watch your thoughts. watch your speech patterns. They will reveal to you the deeper beliefs that are hidden in your unconscious. And then, if you wake up to what's being revealed, you can start changing what you do with your language to start programming your unconscious differently. Michael talks it over and over again. At long last, he keeps talking over and over again about people who say, oh, I get it. Oh, it's all an inside job. Absolutely. Oh, I did a whole bunch of worksheets and it really helped. And then they get triggered and they say, you know, you're really making me angry. And then they catch it and they say, well, no, I didn't really mean that. I understand that you didn't make me angry, but, you know, you're really making me angry because... And in those moments, it's not a game, it's a tool I could use to say, oh, there is still a part of my mind that just got activated, that slipped out when I wasn't trying to monitor every word I said, and it slipped out and said, oh, I still have a part of my mind that believes the outside world causes my emotions. And rather than just try to, I can change my words, that's a good thing to do. Oh, here's a better way to say that. The interpretation that I chose and placed on life events just now resonated some of the belief I have that the outside world creates my emotions. So I can do some worksheets. I can do some EFT tapping. I can do some still point breathing. I can do the targeted journaling called Mind Shifter on that. And I can dig up the part of my mind. I can get access to the part of my mind that still believes that you and other people and the flow of life causes my emotions. And I can dismantle that, those energies, whether they're trauma energies or the false beliefs, one worksheet at a time, one still point breathing session at a time, one targeted journaling, writing about a mind shifter, one session at a time. I can actively work to uncover the parts of my mind that are full of those pebbles that say, I am powerless to affect change in my life. I am just a victim of the world I see. So the text goes on. It says, the only question is this. Quote, am I as a creative being made in the image of the Creator willing to deliberately, consciously, and actively choose being responsible for which thoughts and which pebbles are dropped into my mind in each moment? That's an important question. Am I willing to deliberately, consciously, and actively choose which thoughts, which pebbles are dropped into my mind each moment? If I'm willing to do that, I can change my life. If I'm not willing to do that, I will continue to create the perception, the false belief, the hallucination, the dream, that I'm simply a victim of the flow of life. So the question is, are you as a creative being, made in the image of your Creator, are you willing to deliberately, consciously, and actively choose to be responsible for which thoughts and which pebbles will be dropped into your mind in each moment? If the answer is yes, then ask, what do I want those new pebbles to be? What vibrational qualities will I call to myself and thereby will create for my tomorrows? The text goes on and says, anytime you react to what you believe is outside of yourself, you may be absolutely positive of this. You've just elected to pick up the old pebble that says, I am a victim of the world I see. What I experience is caused by forces outside of me. the fault really is in my mother, my brother, my father, my partner, and my child. The fault really is in the government and the planet and the quality of the air. The fault really is from a source outside of me, and I have no choice but to react to it. Close quotes. To which I can only say, would you rather be right about that, or would you rather be happy? Because as long as you choose to believe you're right, and you know better than these great spiritual teachings, and that person really did make you angry, and you're only grieving because that person died, or because you lost that job, or because your bank account is low, when you choose to believe that, you create that experience for your life, and no one can undo it except for you. And when you choose those negative thoughts and beliefs, notice how you feel. Does that feel good? Are you feeling happy? When the answer is no and you want to feel happy, cancel your need to be right. Cancel your need for anyone or anything else to change. Put your conscious logical mind aside and all the arguments and all of the perceptions that it will hand you about how you're right and the world around you is wrong, and breathe and soften and go inside and ask to be shown the hidden part of your own mind that's actually creating your upset. Would you rather be right or happy? Whenever you're not happy, one of the best things you can do is pick up a Michael Rice worksheet. Why? Because it will have you say, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel the thoughts I'm using to create my negative emotion. I cancel my desire to hold on to and pursue a goal that's not getting met right now. And as I do that, I open a curtain in my practice, I open a window, I open a keyway, a pathway to the actual energy of pain and suffering that's in my mind-body energy system, and I release it. I redirect my creative energy to allowance and surrender and gratitude and compassion and joy. The text goes on to say, indeed, beloved friends, consider well the essence of this lesson's message. For upon this we will begin to build as we move toward the ending of, quote, the way of the heart. This is but a foundation from which those that are willing can spring forth into a grander dimension, a grander experience of living as a deliberate co-creator with God, with light, with love, with the source of all creation. And it all begins with the need to be responsible for owning the truth of the message of this lesson. For without that, there can be no change in your consciousness, and therefore, in what you will experience in your tomorrows. You are creating your tomorrows. So if you hold on to what you believe, you will continue to create like you believe. So if there is something in your present that makes you shudder, just think what is waiting for you if you once again deny choosing the responsibility and the power that comes with it. All of this, all of the continuing work, the pathway of the way of the heart, and the other two books that follow in the way of mastery, builds on this basic premise. Consider well the essence of this lesson's message. For upon this we will begin to build as we move toward the ending of the way of the heart. This is simply a foundation from which those that are willing, if you're willing, you can spring forth into a grander dimension, a grander experience of living, and you will be experiencing yourself accurately as a co-creator with your creator. However, this begins with a need to be responsible for owning the truth of the message of this lesson. You are creating your experience of tomorrow today by the thoughts you choose and pour your mind energy into. Full stop. For without that, there can be no change in your consciousness. You are creating your experience of life by where you choose to focus your conscious awareness. And not even Yeshua can change that. That's rooted in the energy of consciousness itself, the ability to choose. Without your owning the truth of this message, there can be no change in your consciousness. And therefore, there can be no change in what you will experience in your tomorrows. You must choose differently in order to experience your life differently. You must be willing to cancel your goals and ask to be shown. You must be willing to put the conscious logical mind aside to understand that your intellect, full of the trivialities of life that your culture and your language and your family have trained you to believe is true, is just intended to be a very simple servant, not supposed to be driving your life. So if there is something in your present moment that makes you shudder, just think of what is waiting for you if you once again deny choosing the responsibility and the power that comes with it. If there's something in your life right now that makes you feel anger and sadness and grief and hurt, and you continue to hold the belief that it's being caused by things outside of you, you cannot change it. The minute you recognize this is in my experience because of what I'm choosing to believe as the truth of my life, what I have been taught, what I have practiced, where I have been focusing my mind energy, then you can change it. The last paragraph in this lesson, lesson 8, reads, "Beloved and holy friends, remember that I came not to bring peace to the world, but to shake it up so that those beings that make up the world can discover where true peace is truly hidden. It's hidden within themselves. And they can discover where heaven abides. It abides within themselves. And they can discover where Christ lives. Christ lives within each of us. Peace then be unto you always. Amen." You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment. And as you do that, as you exercise that choice of what to focus on, you create your experience of life in that moment, and it sends out ripples, and they will be coming back to you, and that will start to create your experience for tomorrow. And never stops. This is one of the core truths of this pathway. It's also one of the most difficult things for the Western mind to grab a hold of. Because those of us in the Western mind have basically been conditioned to believe that the intellect is God. That the only way for us to work things out, to make things better, to have a better, different life, is to think our way into a set of solutions. The problem with that is it's our actual process of thought which has created the problem that we're experiencing mentally and emotionally to begin with. And it will never resolve with more thought. It's just creating more of the same. Imagine that you're in a prison where the floor and the walls and the bars and the ceiling, it's all made of butter. And somebody hands you a shovel made of butter and says, "Here, why don't you dig yourself out? And don't worry if this shovel wears out, I've got another one for you. I've got a limitless supply of butter shovels to give you. Dig a tunnel to get out of this prison because the floor is made of butter. And here's a shovel made of butter. Imagine the endless loop that this person would be in trying to dig their way out of the prison of butter where everything they use to try to dig is made of butter. We're going to be drowning in butter. That's what we do with our thoughts. We create a negative emotional state. We create an experience of upset, sadness, hurt. We create a perception that I'm only feeling this because so-and-so did or didn't do this or that. And we continue the process of thinking that leads to more perception that proves to us that we didn't cause our upset. How could we possibly cause our upset? We hate our upset. We want it to go away. Couldn't be us that's creating the upset. And then we create the perception. Yep, here's the proof. What he did, what she did, that's causing me to be upset. That's causing my sadness. That's causing my grief. That's causing my rage. That process of thought can only always and forever create more experiences like itself. And we will be drowning in the thoughts of blame. We will never reach what we say we want, which is the peace, which is the gratitude, which is the contentment, which is the joy, which is the abundance. We will never reach it through the process of thought. The flow of life, as it's been expanding for, our scientists tell us now, 13.84 billion years, is responsible for everything you see in front of you. Every person that you interact with, your physical body itself, the floor of any building you're in, the trees, the ground, the sky, has been created in this flow of creation for 13.84 billion years. Since what our scientists call the Big Bang. There's been a level of intelligence that has been responsible for that flow of creation. And that level of intelligence is far more grand than anything your conscious logical mind can even begin to comprehend. And yet, your conscious logical mind wants to argue time and again that the flow of life is bad or wrong or shouldn't be happening. That's what this lesson was referring to as eating from the tree of good and evil, making a choice, judging that the flow of life is bad. But what is it that you're using to judge that the flow of life is bad? You're using your conscious logical mind. You're using your intellect. You're using what's been shoved into your intellect by the parents you had, the school you went to, the life experiences you had, the traumas in your bloodline, the trivialities of thought that have been conditioned into you. Those are the only things you can use within your conscious logical mind to make an assessment that life is bad or wrong or shouldn't be happening the way it is. And what this work is calling us to over and over and over again is the realization that that just doesn't make sense. Our conscious logical mind is not capable of comprehending the vastness of the universe. It's certainly not capable of judging that the flow of life is bad or wrong as it's unfolding. We can certainly create that belief that we know better than the flow of life. And as we do, as this book points out in a number of different ways, we slumber in our suffering. So, suffer as you will, it is a choice. Once you wake up to that choice, you can then begin to choose over and over again. You wake up to the reality that you're choosing, then you can begin to choose more and more actively for love, for peace, for compassion, for joy, for allowance and surrender. That's what we're being offered in this work. And it will not come through the conscious logical mind deciding who's right, who's wrong, what's good, what's bad, etc. It will come with allowance and surrender. It will come, as Lesson 5 told us, by choosing to tune into the energy of creation, the very powerful, subtle energy of creation that wants to flow uniquely through you in each new present moment. And once you tune into that, then deciding that you're going to work throughout each and every day to keep your conscious mind aligned with that energy and ask continually to be shown, what is it that wants to express through me in this moment? How could I be a blessing to myself and others? What is there for me to see that my conscious logical mind cannot derive from its own machinations? And as I do that more and more and more, and I ask to be shown, and I surrender to what is, and I allow, which means I actively work to see the early warning signs of my resistance, my judgment, and I catch the resistance and judgment and take a breath and soften and release it. As I do that more and more, and I surrender to be taught by life each moment, and I ask, my life is going to get so much better. I'm going to be tempted to think I did it. I'm creating this. And what this work wants me to understand is, of myself, I do nothing. But the force of creation flowing through me does all things. And all I have dominion over is this tiny little hose that I can direct my mind energy. I can direct my thoughts in one direction or another. I didn't create the hose. I didn't create the energy that flows through the hose. I can't even turn the flow of energy off. I do have only this choice. Where am I going to point that hose? Am I going to point that hose towards love, towards compassion, towards allowance and surrender and forgiveness? Or am I going to point that hose towards, I know I'm right and the world is wrong? Am I going to point that hose towards judgment? Or am I going to point it towards allowance, surrender? And this lesson would ask us over and over again to choose wisely and to remember we can either be right or happy. So I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form, and everything else is false. And I'll say hello and welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, and Dr. Tim. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And, excuse me, today is Monday, April the 11th, 2022. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And while we're waiting on Michael to dial in, I'll just remind everybody that this Thursday is the book club, and that's at 3:30 Eastern Time. And the information for that, you can either go to our events page or you can go to the schedule and flyers, or you can click on, actually have a link under schedule that says Global Online Book Club. So you can go to that and it gives you the Zoom link, passcode and everything to join us on that. It's been an awesome time. They're going through the Well, actually, I could say they're going through the why is this happening to me again, but it's actually turned into workshops. We did the worksheet, and we've had lots of questions and answers and discussions, and it's just a great group of people from all around the world. And so join us for that Thursday at 3:30. And there's a few other things on the website. There's been so many people that have asked about the Avicen. And so under healing, or you can just do a search for Avicen, but under healing and then healing the mind, body, and spirit, the first thing on there is Avicen. And it gives you information about it, a couple videos to watch where Michael explains it. And so that's something new on the website. Just, you know, go out and look around. I'm putting something out there almost every day. We're making some changes on the app. So, because Michael had redone some of the commitments, and I didn't even think about that I had the links on the app going to one commitment. So I'm actually creating a separate page for each commitment so that if he makes revisions in the future, I can just change them on the website and it'll automatically change in the app. So if you go out on our app and you click on commitments and they're not working right now, just give me a couple of days. We're working on that. So, and just look at some other stuff. And if you find something that's not working either on the app or one other thing that we're working on is the app for some reason wasn't taking phone numbers that had more digits than we have here in the U.S. And so we're changing the algorithm on that. So anybody who is from another country, if you're having trouble getting signed up on the app, and that's only required the first go-round and if you want to be added to our mailing list. But if you find anything else that's not working, either on the app or on the website, please drop me a line at Jeanie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let me know where it is. Give me the URL address on it so that I can go directly to it and make changes. And we appreciate you, and welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and we appreciate you and the brain cells you have to do everything you do on the app and on the website. I mean, I wouldn't even be able to start to do that, sweetie. So thank you so much for your dedication and the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work you put in to keep it all coordinated and happening and moving forward. There are a lot of strings to it, a lot of pieces to it, and I couldn't even think about stepping into it. So,
mucho gracias. You are welcome. And, you know, just like this show and just like many of the things on the website, the app is absolutely free. So download it or update it if you haven't got the latest.
And free. Let me talk about free for a minute. You know, when we traveled, I mean, for 40 years we traveled, we paid our own expenses and our workshops. 95% of them were free. But while they were free, this stuff doesn't happen for nothing. We haven't figured out how to do it for nothing. We've made things free because there are people who just don't have the money to afford it, who just, you know, they're just not. And so we want everything that we do to be as available as possible to everyone, whether people have money or not is irrelevant. And, again, I invite you to just notice, none of it happens for free. I mean, 20,000-page website, believe me, it doesn't happen for free. Doing this radio show doesn't happen for free. And so if you're in a position, if you're receiving it free, and if it's benefiting you, and you have, you're in the space where, gee, you know, I go into Starbucks and I pay $7 for a cup. If you're there, then support us. Give something back. And I assure you that beyond a very, not a relatively meager, but a very meager lifestyle, believe me, everything will go right back into how do we make this available on the next level. Probably the outside of doing the work now with doing the app and all the stuff that goes on with that. Probably outside of that, our biggest expense, the biggest thing we spend money on, is something for Aria Rain. You know, that's she gets the toys, and of course that's pretty much, you know, that's pretty meager as well. But you know, just in the spirit of goodwill, I tend to stay away and, you know, leave the idea of that alone, of asking people to support us, kind of off to the side. because I want to make sure that it's out there and available, but help make it available if you're in a position to do that. You know, with the fact that we're not on the road at this point, it's needed, frankly. So if that works for you, I kind of long for the days. Several of you will probably remember Lady Jane, who was a minister at Unity in Indianapolis, Indiana. And, or actually, it's a little town. I'm not remembering the name of the town. In any event, and she'd call in every month. She used to tithe to us, and every month with her tithe, she would call in and remind everybody, you know, support what supports you. So, Lady Jane, in your honor and after your example, I put that request out there for support. And again, if you're not in a position, don't ignore it. And please be here and call into the show and ask as many questions as you've got and as many as you can, because that's what we're here to do. It's about that. It's about delivering the work. And that other becomes part of the process because, you know, the internet company doesn't give it to us for free. Blog Talk doesn't let us come on the show for free. You know, the people in India want to be paid. You know, those things happen. So I just put that request out there. And the easy way to do it, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and you'll see a button there. I think it's fairly prominent that says donate. Click the button. It goes through PayPal, but you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can enter any credit card or bank account, or if you want to do recurring, you can go to PayPal and you can do a recurring kind of thing. Or if you don't want to go through that routine, but you'd like to donate on a monthly basis, if you want to contact me directly and set something up that just goes directly into the bank account for the Kabours Institute, we can set you up to do that too. So lots of ways to support the work. And of course, if you're not in a position because money just isn't there, and I certainly understand that, there's been a lot of financial trauma for people the last couple of years with COVID and all. If you have a skill, you know, we have a young man named Michael Tethy who's getting ready, actually, I think next weekend or the following weekend, he's going to be arriving at Heartland. Heartland has been open for 2 years now with COVID. And so he's moving there, and he's going to start working on projects around Heartland, you know, getting the property cleaned up and that sort of thing, and getting the infrastructure in place with a view toward, well, once COVID's cleared, are we ready to go back to doing intensives at Heartland? So he's moving there to do that, and he and Julie Haverstick will be the support team program. And you know, if you want to go out and help to do some projects at Heartland, if you've got something you can do that, you know, I mean, take the app and, you know, if you've got the skill of publicity or internet skills or, you know, writing skills or whatever. And of course, we've had people who've shown up who have skills that they want to change the direction of this work according to what they understand and believe, and that's not really possible if someone wants to step in and assist and support. It has to be in alignment with, you know, I've had people who call, who went, well, here, I'm a writer. Here, let me rewrite your worksheet for you. Well, no, that's not going to happen. But we do have a writing project for you here. I'm not interested in that. So you know, if you're willing to be directed and be supportive and assist, you know, our commitment ultimately is to make this available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And one of the things we're looking at recently is setting up some sort of, and I'm not sure, I've just started to kind of look into it, some sort of a foundation or something that will perpetually make our website available so that it's here forever, that it will be self-funding and perpetually move forward on a global scale until we get to the point where we're touching into every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And while I'm putting that thought out, there's another piece of support that I'm going to invite, and that is, if you go to Facebook, there's a man named John, J-O-H-N, Considine, S-O-N-S-I-D-N-E. He is the Unity minister in what city? A little city just outside of Detroit. any event, he posted this morning about his concern he's been tapping into and reading about how part of the policy of Mr. Putin in Ukraine is rape, and his concern for those who are subject to that insanity. You know, it's an old war game that if you impregnate all the enemy's women, then the enemy has no more purebreds left, and that's a way to defeat an enemy. It's an old insanity, and so vile and so vicious and so insane. So if you are interested in that as a topic, then I'd invite you to look up John, J-O-H-N-C-O-N-S-I-D-I-N-E, C-O-N-S-I-D-I-N-E. And John is working on finding a way to fund support for women violated in Ukraine, as many were in Syria when the Russians went in there. It's one of my replies to John as he posted that out of his concern was that the same work, it's like a healing. My invitation, my response to him was, so here's what we need. We need every person, man and woman, to look at their own inner rapist, because it is a global problem. You know, we live in a culture, my take in working with people over the last half century is that at least 60%, that's 60%, 60 out of every 100 people in America today have been sexually assaulted, men and women. It's insane. It's crazy. And rape isn't just about genitals in this context. When I say they're inner rapist, I mean someone, where the healing of it's going to be is when people start going inside themselves and heal that part of them that want to control, that want to take what belongs to others, that want to own, that want to run other people's lives. This is the inner rapist. It doesn't have to extend down into genitals, but that's the extreme extent of it. But where it starts in mind is the desire, the greed, the desire to have what someone else has and or to control what someone else has. And, you know, you look at the idea that this country was, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, it was founded in liberty and every man is created equal, but then look what they did with the, you know, the non-white Americans, and people will say, well, it was founded by, you know, whites, for whites. And that's a kind of the racist trope that goes on today in the MAWA crowd, make America white again. My offering is, yes, that is certainly a valid way to read it. And or maybe there were people who, even though they were participating in insanity, I mean, many of those who signed the Constitution were slave owners. But maybe they had, well, there was nothing they could do at the point, you know. I mean, if they had someone and it meant, you know, I have my plantation and I have, this is how I have money. And they probably, perhaps, couldn't fathom how they could probably change that. But they had a vision that it was possible. And, you know, it's like all of us, right? And a lot of times people really degrade themselves because they can't live up to their highest ideal. Oh, here's what I want to do, but I can't do it. And so they quit. And my offering is, no, stop, stop, stop. Part of creating something totally new in the world is oftentimes participating in the old, egregious way of doing it. Those who are lost in it and maybe stuck in the inertia of it and can't fathom and can't get out of it, but have a vision. When one has a vision, it doesn't mean one can live up to that vision. I say that from my own, you know, if you look at the commitment, and we've renewed it, you know, which was another change made in it just a few days ago. Having made the change in the commitment, I don't even know how long. I don't know, Jeannie, aside from the last two changes that were made, do you remember, have I changed the commitment since we met?
2017. 2017. One.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then two have come in just the last few weeks. So as I personally get to catch up with my teaching in my own personal mind, in my own personal conceptual structure, then I get to see the next mountain range and what's possible. And I say, oh, here's where I want to go. It doesn't mean I'm there. But this is what I'm efforting for. And I invite you to be gentle with yourself if you condemned yourself for not being able to live up to what you've efforted towards. Because that condemnation is just another power person dynamic. You know, when the child didn't achieve what the adult said they were supposed to achieve, the power person, you know, drove the child into the ground. And so that child perhaps, and it was very justifiable, that of course they weren't capable of getting up and walking or whatever that's a metaphor for. If you are beating up on yourself because you're not living up to your highest ideals, stop it. Forgive that power person dynamic of beating up on yourself for anything ever again. And there's an ideal. There's a vision. And you may beat up on yourself tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. And I might too. But once you catch yourself and you remember that non-being mind is so enormous, so massive, literally the reflection of a thousand generations of insanity. I mean, how else could it be? Everybody in your bloodline and my bloodline that's over 120 is dead. You only die from insanity. That's the only cause of death. It's suicide. We do it to ourselves when we bring in energies that weren't designed to be in this energy system called the human body-mind unit. That's the only thing that kills us. And remember, you don't have a body. Let's listen to Einstein. On such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So when you realize we don't live in a material world, you don't have a material body. Yes, your mind makes it appear that way. But if you could see it as it actually is, you'd see this whirring mass of electrons, protons, neutrons, and light. You wouldn't see a body. And there are energetic patterns that support that body's existence, and there are energetic patterns that don't. And guess what? We've all been brought up in energetic patterns, they're insane. I ran across a post this morning on Facebook. A young woman had posted, a woman from Canada, had sent me a friend request, a therapist, and I kind of looked through some of her posts, and she had a post from Pythagoras. If you remember from your high school days, the Pythagorean theorem, you know, on triangles and such, as a mathematician. But he did a really profound piece of writing on eating animals. And that, as I read this thing from Pythagoras, I contemplated my own journey with eating dead animals. And, you know, I was brought up in a home with a mother that if she didn't put meat on the table three times a day, she would have been deficient. So it just, I mean, my question, part of the, when I reposted her story about Pythagoras, I posited the question, how many things, whose mind thought something up that we do today without thinking about it? Like I, for years, ate meat without thinking about it. I can remember the day, I used to be in the restaurant business, this goes back better than five decades ago, and I can remember the day a man came in and wanted to know if we had a vegetarian meal. And I can remember looking at him and like my brain just didn't compute. It's like, what do you mean vegetarian? You don't eat meat? No. You know, when I realized that I'm a full-grown adult and I'm living high on the hog, I eat meat three times a day and I think I'm really rocking. And I started to think about that. And that was about the time I started to study naturopathy, and then I started to understand what the human body's actually designed to eat. And it ain't dead animals, believe me, even though, you know, most everybody's doing it. But I look at that presumption. I mean, it was just born and bred in it. It was just part of it. Now, I mean, you couldn't stuff a piece of dead cow in my mouth for love nor money. And my son is even more extreme than I am. I can remember where my son made the shift. He used to love cheese. We used to call him Mr. Cheesehead. But we brought him up vegetarian, not vegan. And he was actually, the kids, when they became 13, we homeschooled them. And then we gave them a choice to go to school if they wanted. And he went to a school in North Carolina where it's a small school there. I think there were about 30 students. And, you know, they lived in houses with family, you know, adults who were kind of the caretakers of that particular house and family. And the kids did their own, chopped their own firewood and made their own meals and washed their own dishes and did their own, all of it. So it was a life skills type of school, along with academics. And I can remember, this was at the time when mad cow was becoming the big thing. And I remember being on the phone with my son, Michael J., who at that point was Mr. Cheesehead, and I was reading him an article over the phone about mad cow. And that was it. I mean, that day was the last time he ever put one speck of animal product in his mouth. He was brought up vegetarian, so it wasn't shocking. But he made the decision to do that. Now he's stricter than I am. I will still eat cheese from time to time. He won't even wear leather. And it's an extreme vegan position of, well, we just don't do anything that abuses or risks abuse to animals, which is, I think, a really powerful position. But when you think about all the things that we do, the behaviors we have in our intimate lives, in our relationships, and the way we think about children and parents and neighbors and friends and enemies, all those things and the way we think about them, most of it was inherited or genetically implanted. And there's been a lot of insanity. And so in the context, you know, perhaps go take a look at the website and download My Commitment. And in fact, you know, I've made a change or two, and I'm going to read it. I read it, you know, a few weeks ago when I changed it back then, but I'm going to just read it again. And in the context of this, I invite you to think about any decision in your life that was not your choice, but you know you were kind of born and bred with it, and to think about, is it really in harmony with the truth of who you are? And of course I'm asking myself that question too. So my commitment goes, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to be true to you, and always engage in just and fair behavior with you. I had someone, when I put that in, I just put that in a few weeks ago, and that just and fair behavior is from the Beatitudes of Yeshua. And I had one person, actually a therapist, who came back to me and was like, oh, that's just too heady for me. I'm going to stick with the old commitment. It's like, well, you know, of course, do what you like. But if you can't contemplate just and fair behavior in your relationships, it's probably because you're not doing just and fair behavior. And it might be the subject for some forgiveness work. And, you know, as I interacted, there was a great deal of resistance and kind of like, okay, I'm getting into the arena of playing John the Baptist here. I think I'll keep my head attached and just drop the conversation. But that little change really flared up for somebody who loved the commitment. But no, I don't want to have to do that just and fair behavior thing. I commit to always be sweetness in your life. This is what a human being would do, to nurture you daily and to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, words, and actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. In every interaction, I commit to affection for you, to look for and acknowledge the highest and best in you as I surrender to love, our true nature. I will use only voice tones that reflect my deep caring for you. My connection to love, our source, gratitude for my relationship with you, and our serenity will always be more important than any issue. I open my being to embrace you in my love. I open my being to be embraced in your love. If anything like unlike love comes up in me, I will hold this in my heart and listen as I learn to speak experience and be responsible and forgive my own realities. I'm here for and with you, to you, as I keep communication open and keep love conscious, active, and present as we heal, celebrate life, and grow together. Now, my take, my offering is that that's how a human being would function. I mean, literally, if you go back to the moment where you first held the newborn child and you tapped into the essence of that newborn, that's how a newborn would function. That's just my offering, my take. That's the natural, what would naturally flow from that state of being untouched by the world. And then we come in and we are impaled on all kinds of insanities, including the one I just offered about eating tortured flesh. Is there anything that you're doing that's out of harmony with that commitment? I'm asking myself that question as well. Then I invite you to recognize that it's not natural for you to do that. It is not in your nature for you to do that, although it may be your second nature. When they say it's second nature to him, it's our second nature. That's not our primary nature. That's what we've been brainwashed with by our genetics, by our family systems, by our cultural systems, by our world. And, you know, we're at the point where we've been so blasted by insanity that because of the behaviors and the greed of humans, we're at risk of literally destroying the planet. And to me, it's we're in need of healing. Primary tool that Yeshua taught for healing, a way to consistently, persistently change those behaviors that are out of harmony with the truth of who we are, is forgiveness. That's why we're working to make this available. The single reason for why people are starving on planet Earth today, why there is war, why there is rape, why there is murder, why there is divorce, why there is child abuse, why there is spousal abuse, the only reason for all of that is that the humans who exist now on Earth do not have a comprehension of forgiveness. They don't know how to undo that in themselves. Many will rail against it and say, I'll never do that again. How many have ever heard the alcoholic after an alcoholic binge and the damage they've done, and they look at the horrific things that they've done and they say, oh my God, I'll never do that again. Guess what? If they don't have forgiveness, if they don't know how to go inside themselves and remove the behavior prompt for doing that, then guess what they're going to do the next time they get drunk and the stresses are right? They're going to do it again. Why do people do aberrant behavior? Because it's in them. Oh, no, I did it because of what Bill did. I treated him that way because of what he did. No, you didn't. You treated him that way because of what was in you. And you got the original of what you did to Bill. He only got a carbon copy. Every energy we originate first puts its signature in our own tissue, in our own cellular structure. Every energy we initiate. And so, it's time. It's time for us to function like humans again. And this show is about supporting and assisting you in bringing that to fruition, if that's of interest to you. If it's not, then, you know, have at it, whatever works for you. But if you want that, we're here to support it. The whole purpose of this show, the whole purpose of everything we do, the purpose for our website, all of it, the app, is to assist and support that. is to literally be able to uncover the root of every atrocity ever done in our bloodline and clean it out. And so if we can support you in that process, then that's what we're here to do. And our calling number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And if you push one, that'll put a hand up in the phone queue. And Gina will know you want to talk to us and we'll have a conversation. And if you're not using the forgiveness tool at this point, we invite you to go to the website. Again, it's WHYAGAIN.org. And on the website, you can live do the forgiveness process. You can do it right there on the site. You can print off the results on your own printer if you want to keep your results. Or you can go to the page on the site with worksheet downloads, and you can download your favorite worksheets. There are several different versions, different nuances in them. And you can print those off and use them at home. Or you can go to your app store on your phone and simply type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Heartland, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. What you'll be looking at in your app store is the world's only forgiveness app, first and only. Created by thousands of hours of work by Miss Jeannie, by tens of thousands of hours of work between the two of us over 40 years to bring this forward. And accolades to Dan McDougald, who is my former partner, who's an attorney, and he directed the Kobouris Project and initiated a course in the prison systems in Georgia called Emotional Maturity Instruction. Dan was the one who introduced me to Aramaic forgiveness. Thank you. I'll be forever grateful to you, Dan, for that. I'm looking at his picture right now as we speak. He's left his body behind. Accolades and appreciation to you, Dan.
We have a hand.
Great. Let's say hello to our caller.
Okay, I believe that it is Bob in Australia. Welcome.
Hey, g'day, Gene.
Hey, young
g'day,
man,
Michael.
Welcome.
Lovely to speak with you again.
Delighted, honored. What's on your mind for today?
My life is so blissful, and I'm on a creative roll at the moment. I can't stop writing and creating content about, you know, people personally empowering themselves and healing themselves, because I am the only one that can heal me. You know, it's all the answers are inside, and there's so much beautiful stuff going on in the world, but you don't see it on mainstream media,
absolutely.
Which is understandable. But I saw a lovely comment the other day, and it was either Charlie Chaplin or Einstein said, you only need power to cause harm. For everything else, love is sufficient. And I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. That's what was stated by Einstein?
It was either Einstein or Charlie Chaplin.
Huh. You only need power to inflict harm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
all
awesome.
For everything else, all you need is love. All you need is love.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, they sang it well, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's an amazing
time. Wow, that's
time.
Powerful.
You know,
thank you for that.
There are no coincidences, are there, Michael? You know, these messages, it's like speaking my truth. I just see it as like I'm throwing a stone in the pond and the ripples will go where they, you know, and land on foreign shores. I think that's what we're all doing. And I've come to realize that
yes.
I live under the KISS principle, keep it simple, sovereign. And and my new Sue principle, which is Sue, all are sovereign, unique, and equal, and everything else flows from that. But where I am now, what I radiate, I create. So I consciously choose to radiate joy.
Yes.
What comes back? It's so
simple. It's law. It can't be otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's no mistake in the fact that all my dogs have been terriers because they get it from me. You know, I'm a terrier. I gnaw down until I get to the fundamental truth of things. And I just wish I could share how blissful I feel with other people. And I think I'm doing that from the works that I'm producing, just like
nice.
The works that you got producing. You know, I've come to the conclusion that the best thing that I can do is to just let my own light shine. You know, I can't do any better than that.
I join you in that, my friend. I'm looking at a website from Meaningful Living, and they repeat that quote just slightly differently. You only need power to do harm. Love is enough to do what matters. They don't attribute that to anyone. It's just there as a quote. They don't say who the author of it is.
Oh, well,
interesting.
Never mind.
But pretty close. Yeah, that's powerful. I'm going to use that one for sure.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got much more to share, really. You know, my life is awesome because I create it that way. You know.
There you go. I'm with you, my friend.
Yeah.
We're delighted to have
so
you out there holding the space. And you know, when you talk about that energy landing on other shores, I really hold that you being, you know, literally on the other side of the world from us holding that space, that the energy between us touches everything and everybody in between. And to me, that's just awesome. So thank you for that.
Well, I ask myself this question, Michael, because where I'm living in the Whitsunday Islands is a region of outstanding natural beauty. But it's like a spiritual wasteland. And I thought, well, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And then I realized that the brightest lighthouses, the brightest lights are built on the darkest shores. So I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a reason because this is where I'm needed the most.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, my friend.
I found
I'm looking
that
on
quote
Pinterest
on
and
site
they're attributing
Goodreads.
It to Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say Goodreads says that it's Charlie Chaplin.
Okay. Well, much love to you and keep up the good
cool.
work. Well, we
hey,
have
thanks
a,
for bringing that one in. I appreciate you, sir.
Bye for now. Love you all.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. In searching for that, Jeannie, I came across another post that is interesting in the post, and it doesn't identify who it's from, but it says, and it kind of ties in with the with what I was saying about the commitment, the desire to inflict harm, to exercise unjustified power over others, is what draws people to embrace the absurd. That sure says it.
Can you send me the link to that and I'll put it in the notes?
I will, for sure. So we've got a caller. Let's say hello.
That was it. Bob was it.
Okay.
Nobody else has a hand up. And we've got 19 minutes.
Well, then it's time for somebody else to put their hand up. Let's go for it. And I just sent you that link. It's rashmanly.com. That says a mouthful. There's certainly lots of insanity being embraced in our world today. And people willing to embrace that insanity to just for the sake of power. I think it's the whole root of what I call the MAWA, M-A-W-A, Make America White Again movement. And it's time for us to get out of our the weakness of thinking that in order for somebody else to, for us to win, somebody else has to lose. It's a powerful thought, the desire to inflict harm to exercise, the desire to inflict harm to exercise unjustified power over others, is what draws people to embrace the absurd. And certainly a lot of what's going on is absurd and infantile. The infantile mind wants to control everything and everyone around it. And it's interesting, oftentimes the people, you know, politically, without getting into a big political discussion, but politically, oftentimes the people who are trying to exercise that kind of insane power are called, quote unquote, strong men. And the truth is, they're the weakest of the weak because they can't even control themselves. And that effort to try to control everyone else through all kinds of vicious, vile means is just so out of harmony with human life. It's amazing. And so we're here to bring sanity to the game on the next level.
Well, we've been talking about
human life.
Insanity, and we've talked about food and eating, and it just triggered, Aria about 5 or 6 weeks ago was really sick. She was
seven times
in a day, and then, you know, she complained about her stomach hurting for a few days, but she didn't get sick again. And then, you know, there'd be a day and she'd throw up and then she'd seem to be better. She never run a fever with it. Well, it's ongoing. Well, this weekend, Gabby was out of town, my daughter-in-law.
Thank God
and
for your
Ryan
intuition,
was,
sweetie.
Ryan was keeping Aria at home and he said that she got sick again. And he just happened to mention, you know, he said, I don't know what it is. I said, well, she was fine on Friday and when we had her. And he mentioned that when they had gotten home that, you know, she had a snack of Lucky Charms while he was fixing dinner, and then she ate a cheeseburger, and then later she got sick. And it was just intuitive, and I was actually going to look up just to see what the ingredients were in Lucky Charms. And when I Googled it, the first thing that popped up was that the FDA was investigating that there had been hundreds of people that were getting sick after eating Lucky Charms. And so we've submitted a thing to FDA, you know, that she may be part of that group or whatever. So, you know, we've just got to be so aware of what's in, you know, first thing would be to not eat processed food. But, you know, it's like, not even, there was even one question that said, well, is Lucky Charms fatal? And one of the responses was, well, not if you don't eat too much of it or something like that. It's like, you know, come on. This is food that's fed to children all over the place, you know, and I don't know. Anyway, we just need to be more conscious of what we're putting in our bodies.
Yeah, and the truth is, it's not food either. We call it food. There's another one of those things we've been brainwashed into to think that just like people think animals are food, animals aren't food. Processed foods, quote-unquote foods, are not foods. They're pretend foods. It's sophistry, you know, that old trick of, you know, the sophists were a group of Greek philosophers who traveled around Greece, charging big bucks to the wealthy, specifically teaching the wealthy how to lie, but couched their lies in terms that made their lies appear true. Sophistry. And to even call what comes in a box food is to lie to ourselves, to be scammed. And it's time for us to simply wake up to who we are and recognize that Human life is about something different. So let's talk about it. What's on your mind? How are you today? 563-999-3581 if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you. If you dial that number, you're listening to the show. Push 1. And let's have a conversation. How's the work impacting you? Is there anything that you have to share about your take on the work? The way it has changed your life. Would love to hear from you. You know, you never know when your words might be the ones that inspire someone else and where they thought, oh, that could never change for me, and you're telling your story about how it changed? Another quote that I come across on that same site that I just sent you from Voltaire, whoever can make you accept an absurdity can make you commit injustice. Voltaire made the observation between that toleration of the absurd and toleration of injustice are one thing. Whoever can make you believe the absurd, an absurdity, can make you commit injustice. Time to wake up in America. Time to wake up in the world. Time to be finished with the craziness that passes as sanity. And oftentimes, I think, simply because people have never thought of it, don't know any better. So if you're out there and listening, man, push 1. Come on, let's have a conversation. I mean, we've covered lots of ground. Has anything that I've said challenged your thinking? If I'd said it on a platform in your hometown, you know, if I was at your local, you know, bar or your, and I've done workshops in bars, in your local church or your local prison or your local library or university or school auditorium, and I walk down off the stage after having the conversation, Jeannie and I having the conversations we've just had, what would your question be? What would you be saying? What would you be coming up if I stepped down off the stage? You could just walk over and say, hey, Michael, what about? What would your what about be? I'd love to hear it. And the idea of this show is to give a space for us to have that conversation. So the monologue is over. The mono part of the log is complete. If you have a thought, let's talk about it. If not, then, Jeannie, we've got a lot on our list. Maybe we let the show go for today or for the rest of the day. So it's kind of a last call for push 1. Let's have a conversation. How can we support you? Maybe you've got a question about the website or the app or anything.
We've had a couple of new people just pop on in the last 5 minutes. So if you have a question, please press 1. It'll put you up in queue.
Yes, you've just jumped on the show. You've missed our conversation so far, but hey, who knows what you might get us started on. So what's on your mind? Why did you come to the show? What are you interested in? How can we support you?
Well, maybe, oh, a hand just went up. 808, I believe it's Roma. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I was.
Hey, welcome,
one of
young lady.
I just tuned in. I was sleeping late because I had a weird experience last night. I woke up in
How
the
so?
Middle of the night. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I reached. I have a floor lamp that's right by the bed, so I just reached my arm out and to turn it on, and it didn't turn on. There was no light. So I got up and turned the bathroom light on, and when I came back to the bed, I looked and I saw that it had been unplugged. the cord had been pulled out from under the bed, and the lamp had been unplugged. And that is really weird.
Got up
really
in your
weird.
Sleep and unplugged the lamp.
Well, I mean, what else could it be? It's just very strange. But no, the reason I pressed one was because I came in on the conversation about that food that I always forget your girl's name.
The Lucky Charms and kids and poisoning or sickness, yeah.
Yeah, what is it? It was a box of candy?
No, it's a breakfast cereal called Lucky Charms.
Holy cow.
I talk about a misnomer, Lucky Charms.
My gosh, that is really...
Yeah.
That's really strange. Yeah. I don't know. It was a little bit spooky. What happened with the light? I went to the front door to make sure it was locked, you know, and it was. So I don't know what the heck, you know. I mean, I can't figure that out. How the lamp?
Oh well.
Plugged.
Probably not really worth any more energy than that.
Well,
so
I
what
guess
else
what
is
comes
exciting
into
in your world?
Nothing. I just wanted to say something to my mind.
Well, we will see you tomorrow night at the second session of the Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing Session then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, take care. Blessings. Jeannie, that one that I sent you, the quote, the desire to inflict harm, to exercise unjustified power, I've been looking at the website behind that. I wouldn't put that on the site. It's a bunch of trash.
Okay.
And so, well, if we don't have any other hands up, then I'm going to go to work on some other projects and say thank you for everybody for joining us today, and we hope you have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. I'd rather have a conversation with somebody. If you're out there with something on your mind, push one and let's do it. Otherwise, we're going to let it go for today. All right, well, thank you all for joining us. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.